Okay. Today's date is January the 3rd, 1986. I'm interviewing Gary McGoy at his home. Wait a minute. Let's start off where you were born and when and all that good kind of stuff first.
Becky, I was born in Cherokee County in Jacksonville, 1949. I was raised in Alto, Texas. Went to college, Kilgore Junior College, and I went to work for Temple Industries then, and which is now Temple East Tex, in 1970 for Creative Homes, and I was employed there for 1 year. Then I was transferred to the Fiberboard Division, Temple East Tex, in May of 70. I have been employed there ever since then, which is now 86.
Yeah.
Temple.
What was Creative Homes?
It was mobile home plant. Modular mobile home plant.
It's not still in operation, is it?
No, it's now been converted to Sunrise and Mobile Homes.
Oh, is that a branch of Temple? They own part of it, or they just?
Mm-mm. No, it's an individual corporation.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, yep. The idea of fiberboard came from Mr. Temple. They were burning or disposing of part of the logs that were being brought out of the woods, and they did not have any use for them. And he got the idea that they could convert this into a productive product that would eventually make money for him. And mm-hmm. he went to seek out the possibilities of it. And they found out that there were other fiberboard plants making use of these wood chips, which were being burned up in the atmosphere here, and he decided he would spend a little time and money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has created a very productive industry for Diabol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very productive.
Yeah, it's one of the few that really makes money, isn't it?
It has consistently made money over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had our downfalls when the housing industry went down,
mm-hmm.
and I believe it was 82 when it got so low, 1982,
81, 82
when it got low.
When was the fiberboard started?
The first sheet of fiberboard, in my best recollection, was in 1957, maybe 56. That was when the number one side, or what we call side, number one machine, board machine, was in operation. And they were producing half-inch sheathing and 3/8 trailer board. And after these products were made fairly productive, they introduced a line of ceiling tile, which stayed in style for quite some years.
Well, you're talking about those little squares that you put up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that was the same process.
And this is hearsay information. I wasn't there at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But this fell to the wayside. I mean,
the ceiling tile
is non-productive or something. I don't know. But somebody got the idea that, you know, that other people started this MD siding, medium density siding, which is hardboard siding, just like you would make clipboards, back clipboards out of. Mm-hmm. All right. Some people started this, and then other people said, well, if they can produce that, why can't we produce something a little thicker? And they went to other industries and checked this out, and we had the raw materials, the perfect environment, and the location and everything else to compete with them.
Mm-hmm.
The labor and the labor force. And Mr. Temple decided he wanted to try this. So they expanded the mill. They put in this number two side, which is number two board machine, number two kills. All right. In order to do this, they had to buy new press equipment to press the board after it came out of the kills.
When was this? What year?
This was in 19... This started in about 1970 or 71.
Okay. Just right after you?
Yes. As soon
got there?
As soon as I came there. Matter of fact, it started in about 1969. Because they had all this there. They were just starting this operation up when I came there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let me get straight which siding we're talking about. Now, that paneling like you have on your wall and I've got in my bedroom. Now, is that the exterior?
That's the exterior, yes.
And that's what they were making all along?
That's all, yes.
From very beginning? They've made that?
Yes.
Okay. And then now this is hardboard. What?
It's medium density siding.
Where does it go in a house?
It goes on the outside.
Outside.
It's exterior siding. All of it is exterior siding.
Okay. It's just...
You can choose to put it on the inside if you want to.
Okay.
And it just adds more strength to your house, really.
Mm-hmm. I'm just
Because we've got laboratory tests that we run on it that is very strong. It's comparable to
sheetrock and stuff like that? I mean,
it's much stronger than sheetrock. It's plywood, yes.
It's comparable,
very comparable to
How's it weather?
Weather very fine. We got, I believe it's 15-year warranty on it.
Hmm.
Or 25, I don't remember. 15 or 25 year warranty on it.
And that's just not painted or anything? Or
It's primed in the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got a new pre-finished paint line system installed, which is, I do not know exactly the cost of installing it. It's in the thousands and probably $1 million, mm-hmm. I would say. And they have hired this special lady from International Falls, Minnesota, that worked at Boise Cascade, which they have closed down. And she is supposed to be a paint specialist, which is Kate Oswald. And before long, I expect that our product will be one of the top of the lines for the money.
Yeah, but yet it competes as far as price to with any of them. How many fiberboard plants are there in the country? Lots or?
There's been a downfall in them in the last 5 years. There's about four major plants I know of that closed the doors, sold all their equipment. And we have bought some of their equipment. And one of them is Boise Cascade. Another one was at Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And I'm not sure about the other two. There's two more. There was one major one in the sheathing line, the insulation sheathing line that was closed down that pretty well opened doors for us on that market.
Mm-hmm.
And this market was pretty well closed to us 3 years ago, because the the market was going downhill on it. Nobody wanted it. And now all of a sudden, everybody wants the blackboard you see on the trucks going down the road. That's everybody wants that now. The
now blackboard. Y'all make blackboard?
Yes.
At the fiberboard?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's only one or two other plants, I think, in the United States, the continental United States, that makes it.
Hmm. Why are they closing? Just because the housing market had fallen?
Yes.
And it's just...
And they were, most of these were big companies, larger companies that could afford to close their doors. Mm. You know, their overhead was so high that they just couldn't stay in business. Not like we could.
Why is our overhead particularly lower, or just?
Yes, we stress to constantly improve on quality. To keep the waste down.
Y'all just got through with having another, what do you call those people, efficiency experts come in all the time? When was that last year or the year before?
Oh, that was 3 years ago, four years ago. Yeah. And that's helped a lot. Yeah. That's kept our labor costs down sufficiently, I guarantee you. And we've just completed about $500,000 work on the kills, the number one kills. Part of the parts we bought from Boys of Cascade and Broken Bow that we have shipped down here that was used parts, but they work fine on our dryers, which if we had bought those, we'd had spend three times that much money.
Hmm. For new ones. I can imagine. How is the sheathing that you make now competing with the oriented strand board? Is there a competition as far as, you know, isn't that the new coming thing over?
It's a different product.
It's just a different product completely. Mm-hmm. It's used differently.
Mm-hmm. As far as I know, that oriental strand board is something like wafer board. It's chips that are, it's in a process kind of like making particle board. Mm-hmm. It's a wet press operation.
Sort of thing. Okay, so the first plant was made about 30 years ago then. Was the board any different than it is now after 30 years of what they first turned out? Is it a different product, or is it basically the same?
It's basically the same, except we have increased our machine speeds by 100%.
Mm-hmm. So you just turn out a lot more of it.
105%, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, why don't you start at the first and tell me the process for making fiberboard?
The process starts with logs, southern pine logs, debarked. They're chipped up. Mm-hmm. All right, they are transferred here by different outside sources or intercompany chips.
Okay, so you don't actually debark the logs or
no,
chip them?
No, we have nothing to do with that.
Okay,
they're brought into the what we call the chip yards. They're stockpiled in piles. Mm-hmm. They're cured for approximately two weeks to a month.
Hmm.
As they're piled up, they cook themselves with their own heat.
Hmm.
That's when you drive by the fiberboard plant and you look at a pile of chips, steam's coming off of them, they're cooking their own
just the
fermentation.
Basic.
Fermentation. Okay, these chips are transferred to our digestive system, which consists of cylinders, large cylinders. All right, they are put in these cylinders by conveyors. All right, they are pressurized, just like you would pressurize a roast or a piece of meat in a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
For approximately 6 minutes under 200 pounds steam pressure. The paper mill
How many pounds at one time are we talking about?
How many pounds? Mm-hmm. About two tons every 6 minutes.
In each cylinder?
In each cylinder. 2 tons of chips in each cylinder. Mm. Which we've got 4 cylinders, 4 digesters. We use approximately 1,000 tons of chips a day. Mm. Some paper mills use this process. Some of them use the caustic cooking system, which mm-hmm. use acid.
We use the acids.
But after the chips are cooked, they're conveyed out to the refining process, which we've got 1,200 horsepower motors with refining plates, which rotate opposite each other. Mm-hmm. That as these chips fall through these plates, they're like knives, they're real sharp, and they will grind these chips up, keep grinding them until they make fibers out of them. Hmm. If you could pick a chip, a cooked chip, if you cook one in your oven in a pot of boiling water mm-hmm. for so many minutes and pick the fine stuff out, you could find little fibers, wood fibers. They're real soft. Yeah. Yeah.
Do these chips have to be a certain size for y'all or any of that kind of stuff? Or
they don't need to be any larger than maybe 3 inches long. Mm-hmm. And maybe an inch wide. That's the ideal chip. Mm-hmm.
3 inches long and an inch wide.
Yeah. But
and how thick are you looking at?
A quarter of an inch. Mm. 1/4 of an inch thick. These chips are ground down into fibers, wood fibers. We've got a system of collecting what we call stock chest, which are holding tanks, you might say, mm-hmm. with agitators. It's like large boat propellers that keeps the pulp. It's maybe pulp. And now, mixed with water, the fiber is mixed with water. Keep stirring around. We've got pumps. Pump it out one chest into another.
So you have 4 of them.
Yep. We've got 4 on one side, 4 on number 2 side, and 5 on number 1 side. Part of this purpose is for deflocking. In other words, when you're grinding, these bundles of fibers tend to cling together. Mm-hmm. Tend to cling together, and as you agitate them, they'll spread apart, and that's what you want, individual fibers. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have so many chests. And another reason you have so many chests is for the purpose of retaining your pulp in case something happens that you break down. You'll have a backup system. Mm. You'll have so many gallons of pulp here and so many gallons of pulp there for a backup system. All right, from these
chests. Hot? Are they kept hot, or are they just room temperature? Or?
About 160 degrees.
Mm. So you really add heat to it?
Yeah. We don't add heat. It creates its own heat, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's still fermenting.
It's anywhere from 100, depends on whether it's summertime or wintertime. It's 140 to 160 degrees, probably.
How much water do you use at that point? Gobs?
During a normal day's process, I believe we use 1.5 million gallons of water a day.
1.5 million gallons. Where does that come from? From underground? You pump
we
it up?
We reuse our own water.
Oh,
same
so it's
water
recircular.
Over and over and over. Now, if things are not just right, we have to put some effluent to the irrigation field, which is Ryan's Lake Club pasture.
Oh, yeah. That and pretty green pasture, right?
yeah. Pretty green pasture. We fertilize the hay with it.
But and then you have to add fresh to.
A little bit, not much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We use mostly pond water, which is brought back from the Allen Lake, which is down in Club Pasture, the runoff. mm-hmm. send it back up. It's fresh water.
So they just don't use it out of the ground for
We've got a process, which is the evaporator now, that distills the water. Mm. We sell the wood sugar. We evaporate the water, the dirty water, mm-hmm. make wood sugar out of molasses, sell it for cattle feed, and bring the distilled water back in the plant to use, mm-hmm. which comes back in the plant at about 180 degrees. It's hot.
And that's what feeds these vats then? Your four
yeah,
times,
we use it as makeup water. Yeah. And,
Okay, we're to that point. I got you off track. We're in those five tanks or four tanks.
Okay. It's transferred from there through pumps, which pump the stock out of these chests to the board machines, the forming machines. Mm-hmm. It is...
Is it that brown color?
Yeah, it's brown.
At that point?
Yes.
Okay.
It's brown. It flows out in an even flow, just like lava would.
So it's like paste. I mean, it's pretty thick.
It's fairly thick. It's not as thick as paste would be, or lava, but it flows out in the same instance, you know. Mm-hmm. And as it flows out on this, we've got a wire mesh, plastic wire mesh screen, what we call wire. Mm-hmm. It's really a screen. It's 14 foot wide and 100 something foot long that runs over mm-hmm. rows. The water drains out as it runs down through the board machine. Mm-hmm. Okay, it enters the press section. Before it enters the press section, though, we've got vacuum pumps that pull the water out, the remaining water out of the fiber, mm-hmm. which stops the crushing problem. In other words, crush is when you press so much on the board, the water cannot leave, and it squirts up through holes, just leaves holes in the board.
Oh, all right, that's okay. Yeah.
As it runs over this wire, it'll fall down, and the water drains out. It enters the press section. And we've got four press rolls that weigh approximately 10,000 pounds apiece. Mm-hmm. Under 1,000 pounds of hydraulic pressure, mashing this.
Mm-hmm. Just like a big...
This stock, yeah.
Big iron kind of...
Yeah, and they're rolling the same machine speed, same direction as the machine's going. Mm-hmm. And they've got perforation holes in them, so the water can
keep
as
on.
It rolls, it mashes the water out, and the water drains out. And the stock is forming. The stock is already formed. Mm-hmm. But it lays it down and it mashes it. And after it comes out of the press section, some of it will mash back up. If it mashes up too much, you got bad board. I mean, that's all there is to it. But
you can't remash it.
No.
Once it comes out of there,
it's there
for better or for worse.
It's there
huh?
for better or for worse. Mm. We have problems with this, but
what makes it too much?
The refining process,
or something like
refining
that.
Refining process, most of all.
Hmm.
And
do you add any chemicals to it?
Yes,
as
we
it comes
we
down
use there? Ferric sulfate on hardboard siding. We use ferric sulfate. We got a wax solvent a wax solution that we use in it, and oil, linseed oil emulsion.
Hmm.
We use it. The wax is for water resistance. The ferric, the oil is for strength purposes. It tends to bind the fibers together.
But you don't actually use a glue process at all.
No.
There's no glue
in it. It's natural. Everything is natural in it. And the ferric sulfate is to keep the wax and oil in the board instead of running out with the water. It helps them combine with the fibers.
Hmm.
A sheathing's another.
It's
the same operation, but we use sodium aluminate and asphalt emulsion. The asphalt emulsion adds strength, and water resistance, water absorption resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And the sodium aluminate does the same thing that ferric does. It ferric sulfate, it holds the asphalt in the board.
Hmm.
And the more asphalt you got in the board, the stronger it is. But
how thick is that board?
Half inch sheath, and that's the black board I was talking about a while ago.
Half inch.
It's fairly strong. It's after it's coated, it goes to the drying. After it goes through the kilns, it's cut up, goes drying where it's coated with hot asphalt, which creates a black surface on it. And that adds even more strength to it.
Mm-hmm. That's something. Okay, after it gets through those four rollers, then what happens to the fiberboard?
Okay, it's on the wet table, what we call a wet table. We've got a wet lap saw that is worked by switches that automatically cuts it every length that we want.
Mm-hmm.
Enters the keels. The keels consist of 8 separate decks, which are running 1/8 of the speed of the board machine.
Mm-hmm.
If you were trying to run, they're on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
If you were trying to run one whole sheet through the keels, you would have to slow the keels. That you would reduce your speed by 8.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you have to have 8 machines.
10, 12%.
Yeah.
No, 88%. So we've got 8 decks there. Once it enters each deck at full speed, it drops out of high speed.
Mm-hmm.
It never catches up to each other.
Hmm.
It drops down tipple. We got a tipple that works automatically.
A what?
A tipple.
T-I-P-P-L-E?
T-I-P-P-L-E.
Okay.
Once the board enters the kill entrance,
mm-hmm.
it hits a switch in there, and the tipple drops to the next deck. Another mat comes in there, hits that switch, drops down the next deck.
It's kind of like an elevator? Sort of
kind of like an elevator, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Going from floor to floor. And these keels are running 1/8 of the speed of the board machine
mm-hmm.
at all times. It has to be. Or you'll plug them up or or something. But it takes, the keels are approximately, I would say, 80 yards long. Got 4 zones, what we call zones.
Mm-hmm.
It would be just like you took a cake out of one oven, put it in another one, had different heats in each oven.
Mm-hmm.
You graduate your heat. You start out with high heat in the first zone, and high heat in the second zone, and graduate it down so the board will not burn.
Hmm. That's because of the water content is
right.
High at the
That's
top.
Right. That's right.
On down,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
What happens to all this? Does it steam?
Yes, very much.
Actually,
you got dampers in the top of the keels that
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to be closed all the time. If something happens, one of them comes open, you'll know it because the boards start burning.
Ooh.
Bad. I mean, it's kind of like if you were baking a cake in the oven, you open the oven door
mm-hmm.
and you just had your burner on, your cake would get done on the outside, but wouldn't get done on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Same principle.
That'll happen to your.
Yep.
Your board.
But if everything works out right, the board comes out of the keels. It's cut up by the dry end trimmer. Got number one trimmer, number two trimmer.
Okay, why do you do it again? Why do you cut it again?
Because when
Does
we
it
cut
shrink
it
or something?
On the wet end, when we cut it, it's a mat called a mat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when the dry end cuts it, they cut it into pieces, like 4x8s.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you see on your house.
Okay, what size is it when it comes out of the, what size is a mat?
Well, we have different sizes. It's 18-foot mat, 16-foot mat, 4x8s, 4x9s, like this blackboard comes in 4x9s, mm-hmm. 4x8 sheathing.
Okay, is there a certain amount of shrinkage or anything like that in the dryer? Does it make it where it would warp? Or
No,
have to be trimmed
not,
up?
Not that much. It has to be trimmed, yes.
Okay.
What is trimmed off of it is what we call hogged. Hogged.
Mm-hmm.
Got hog saws, which is blown.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Is blown back, is used.
Put back in the.
In the boat, in process again.
At the very first of
yes,
the process.
Yes, the very process.
Okay. Just a sec, let me.